Man, I feel like summer's almost over or somehow.
Somehow, yeah.
Like, what some the way. Heck? That first, like, week of summer, you would have thought that I want to trip to the Bahamas, man. I was outside constantly just sitting out there drinking beers, just taking it all in. That ended pretty quick. Yeah. I feel bad. I was grilling every single day just for myself. It was great. I loved it. It improved my mood vastly. I don't know why,
Why'd you stop? Yeah.
Because I'm a bum. After a while, it's easier to stay inside and play Hearthstone. To the Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 1st, 2020. Man, this year. Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Ajgad.
Hello. Oh, it's going.
It's going. Got a lot of birthdays. Your son just turned 2.
Oh, man, did he turn 2.
What's that mean?
Like, the whole terrible twos thing?
What is it? Like, to switch on? Walter's so sweet!
No! That asshole?
No!
Yeah. Because, the girls never happened. We were like, oh, terrible twos, what a myth. The threes sucked, fours sucked, fives jury's still out.
They were sweet when they were 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they were 2. I remember threes got a little rough.
Yeah, no. This kid, his birthday was Sunday, literally since Sunday. He's regressed on potty training. He's peeing everywhere.
Nice.
He had to wash the couch. He's peed on the kitchen floor 3 times.
Nice.
So we got that going on. He was doing good, not sitting in a high chair. Now all he wants to do is, stand in the chair and, lean on the table.
Uh-oh.
So, that's been a thing. Yeah, it's a mess.
How are the twins doing?
Well, so I've been playing Pokemon Go with the girls, right?
Yeah.
There was one day we were parked by the Presbyterian Church here in town, which is a good Pokestop to go to. It's got a gym and a few Pokestops to spin. And a Snorlax was there.
Huh?
And Sophia caught it. It ran away from me. And we were telling Liv, catch the Snorlax. And she, didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Flash forward, 2 weeks later, all she wants is a Snorlax.
Yeah.
Literally, every night now we go to bed, she starts crying because she doesn't have a Snorlax. And she wants me to give her mine. And I'm like, look. That's one of my good Pokemon, okay?
No, she's got a...
I'll take good care of it. It's not real.
It's not real.
You don't have care of it.
I don't have sentimental reasons.
Then, even though I wanted to trade it to her, she blew all her Stardust and a bunch of bullshit trades with her sister. So, I can't even trade it to you if I wanted to. So, she's broke me down. I got to the point where I said, listen, if you can save enough Stardust for a special trade, because that's what it is... I'll give you the fucking Snorlax so we can avoid this routine every night.
Every night, really?
Every night.
That's interesting.
This is the worst day because I didn't get a Snorlax.
Wow, that's rough.
Every night.
That's Michael. Rough, kiddo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, all of her Pokemon are dead.
Well, that's...
Because she doesn't have any revives. So we tried to do a raid the other day and she only had 2 Pokemon active. They died immediately. So she didn't get to, catch the thing at the end. I have to give her that. It's an Azumarill.
The Pika Blue. Remember when that...
Yes,
broke? Remember
yes.
We just called him Pika Blue? Because
that's what it was, yeah.
Because the first one we saw, and everyone's like, it's Pika Blue. No, I think it's because, Gold and Silver was out in Japan. And it had a Japanese name that we didn't understand.
Right.
I don't know. I remember there was some site that we used to go to. It was, in 1998, 1999, that was a Pokemon news site, and it was the one that would talk about the new Pokemon.
Yeah, the one in Japan that you know nothing about.
And it had a whole article about the Pokemon movie. I was like, there's a movie. Then when it came out, we was like, ah. So interesting times. Oh man. Hey, we just watched the Muppets Now.
We did.
Plus.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
They Muppeted it.
They did do that. I mean, it was good to see the Muppets. Some segments were pretty funny.
The first segment I was like, I don't know. I admit, the whole Mish Piggy, look how fabulous I am, aren't I fabulous?
It's kind of a little overplayed sometimes.
It's an old shtick, and it doesn't last long. It's buoyed by Uncle Deadly's presence, because I like him a lot.
But
they got to find something else to do with her. But the next segment was Kermit and Walter photobombing.
That's pretty good.
That was really good.
I'm still trying to get used to Kermit's new voice.
It's deeper.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Steve Whitmire was actually higher than Jim Henson.
Right.
And now this one's like maybe even deeper than Jim Henson was. So yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. So it's a bit of an adjustment. Yeah, no. Also, Kermit was actually pretty good. I wasn't a giant fan of the cooking thing.
Yeah, usually I like Swedish Chef more than that.
Swedish Chef's kind of funny because, like, in the original sketch, it was just all him.
Right.
And it's funny because it was all nonsense. Talking turkey, yeah. Right. I don't need the talking turkey aspect.
Trying to stop the nonsense. I want the nonsense.
Maybe too many celebrities.
Well, celebrities are so hit and miss with the Muppets because the bad ones, they're not, like, talking to the Muppet. They're talking at the Muppet, and they're kind of, like, weirdly condescending about it. Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, this is so weird. I'm talking to this puppet. Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, I think one of the best celebrities to interact with a Muppet on a show. Do you remember the episode of Muppets Tonight with Prince?
Muppets Tonight? I do remember that.
It was phenomenal. And, like, who would have thought Prince would be, like, so natural with the Muppets?
What was the name of the host of Muppets Tonight?
Oh, the Jamaican-looking dude.
Yeah. I think that's, like, the only thing he was in.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I remember him.
His name's on the tip of my tongue.
It was all about Muppets Tonight, yeah.
Yeah. But that was the weird thing about that show. It was, like, Kermit was in charge. He was, like, who's he? Why isn't Kermit just in charge? But, yeah.
Like, RuPaul was good. Yeah, I thought that was just RuPaul.
Yeah, RuPaul was fine.
But it was good. I mean,
I liked it. Overall, I liked it, you know.
It was definitely cute Muppet stuff.
I was such a fan of that show. And
that sitcom.
I'm so mad that it just died because it was so good.
Yeah, I like that show too. Some people were rough on that thing, but I think they had some problems, but.
Well, yeah, everyone said the problem was that, like, Piggy was kind of the villain, but she was also, like, the only female character, so it wasn't a good look.
No.
So that's why they kind of gave her a face turn towards the end.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know why that I thought that show was brilliant.
Brilliant, I think, is pushing it.
I thought it was pretty good.
Brilliant's a little.
I thought it was pretty good.
Brilliant, I think, is a bit much. What's that noise?
The fireworks? You all listening probably can't hear that.
I know, but me and AJ were very concerned.
Just like, what?
It sounds better be fireworks.
But, like, really far away.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
Fantastic. So, what do you think's happening with Epic Universe?
Not much.
Yeah, so.
So they own the land, they've cleared the ground.
What is Epic Universe?
Epic Universe is Universal's fourth, they say.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, theme park.
No.
And Universal Orlando.
Yeah, they try to save Volcano Bay, the water parks. Our third theme park. No, it's not.
It's your water park.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a fine water park, but it's your water park. So, I mean, you know, not surprisingly, Disney's been, like, cutting back and canceling projects, you know, in the COVID age. This thing, it was, like, just about to start going vertical when all this happened.
Yeah, like, the land's been cleared, and there's stuff on the site ready to be built, but, nothing, not much besides that.
So, it's not too shocking, I guess, to hear that it's, you know, the first rumors were canceled, which...
Yeah, even the people saying that backed off. Like, no, it's probably just delayed.
Delayed indefinitely.
I mean, cancel would be
right.
Like, pretty extreme measure.
Something with it eventually. The question, I guess, it brings if it's gonna be canceled or delayed that much, do they save Nintendo Land for this park still? Do the original plan and put it in studios where the Barney stuff is?
Nintendo Land has to. That's gonna be like the signature thing of this park.
Right.
Nintendo Land's gonna be a part of it. And more than anything, that's why I think it's gonna happen. That's why I think Nintendo Land's gonna be safe, including the Donkey Kong stuff.
Right. So do you think this is them to be like, do we really want to build a How to Train Your Dragon Land? Like, by the time this park opens in 2026,
How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, but you know, 5-6 years from now, is anyone gonna be like, oh yeah, the classic How to Train Your Dragon?
The Fantastic Beast, like, that's a little weird.
Well, it depends what happens with those movies. Still, in a weird way, this is probably good for them because, like, if the next movie kind of tanks, maybe that's their way to get out of it or change it or something.
It's not like they're gonna get more popular.
If it's good, that would help.
Maybe, yeah. We'll see.
Because that second one was not great.
Oh, it's not good. Killed two babies too many is what I say about that movie.
Wait, there were two babies?
Yeah, two babies were killed in that movie.
I knew the one. Where's the other one?
There's the one. Remember, they
kill the parents, and the baby's like chilling in the room, and he has the chick kill the baby?
Yeah.
Remember that one.
Then we find out that girl, like, accidentally drowned the other baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two babies died in that movie.
Wow.
And the Harry Potter movie. Like, come on.
Yeah.
How dark and edgy does Harry Potter need to be?
Just as long as there's no trans people in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the other issue they're going to deal with now. Yeah.
That's what's interesting is like the one concept that seems safest besides from Nintendo Land now is like that universal monster.
Because at least that's like a classic evergreen sort of thing. Absolutely. That's why I always thought, like, I mean, I'll give you Fantastic Beasts because nothing else. Harry Potter's going to be a thing forever.
I'm sure there'll be some kind of Harry Potter component.
Right. But like, and again, I don't mean to shit on it because they're good movies, but like How to Train Your Dragon felt really weird.
I feel like it would have been a better idea like 5 years ago.
Right. It just has no relevance. That's why I think it does make sense to go back to like established franchise. That's why like, you know, Jurassic Park works in Islands of Adventure because it's Jurassic Park.
Maybe for them it's good that it's like a done thing and they know that, you know, those movies are popular. Like, because they have that Secret Life of Pets ride in Universal Hollywood.
Yeah, and that sequel
and like
tanked.
They started building it before the sequel came out. Then the sequel came out and no one cared. It's like, oh, great. Glad we have this ride.
Theme park ride, yeah.
Right. I mean, that's Universal's problem in general is that they don't have the IP to work with as much. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why when Harry Potter was such a big hit, they went with it. I mean, honestly, if I was them, I would just look at like doing another Nintendo property in there. Do Zelda there too. Yeah, like, would Zelda not be a giant hit?
Yeah, if you want like the medieval fantasy thing.
Just do a Zelda one also. What the heck? I mean, it's like, you know, some people say, you know, like Super Nintendo World, it really is a Mario thing. And that's fine. Like, I don't have a giant problem with that. But like, yeah, like do a Zelda one somewhere too. Why not? So I don't know. They have some time to reassess there and to see like when things are going to pick up again. Because they also canceled Halloween Horror Nights, which is like a giant deal for those parks.
Yeah, big.
So it's bizarre. Because, I mean, the 50th anniversary of Disney World is going to be so scaled back now and weird.
Yeah, it stinks.
Right. Like, I was supposed to go this December. I don't think that's happening.
No.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, then too, the hurricane's heading to Florida right now. I mean,
they're used to those.
But what I'm saying is it going to be worth even keeping the parks open during a hurricane right now? Probably not.
Yeah, everything else.
They'll just close again during that.
Right. Fun stuff.
Yeah, right. Oh, the world we live in. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Good times.
I've been playing that CrossCode. Have you heard much about that?
I've heard of it. It's on Game Pass, right?
Maybe. I've been playing it on Switch. Right, because, you know.
I think it is, so yeah. Tell me about CrossCodes.
It's fun. I mean, CrossCode, one code. It's fun. I mean, it's kind of Zelda-ish in that it's like sort of like dungeon-based, but it's a bit more like RPG elements, like you're leveling up and stuff like that. And there's, you know, it's a bit more story intensive. Like it's one of those games where it's like you're in an MMO, but obviously it's not actually an MMO.
Oh, like Dot Hack?
It's like Dot Hack.
I've never played a Dot Hack game, but I know that's the hook.
It's Dot Hack esque, but it is really good. It's pretty big for like an indie game like this too. Like I think I'm like.
Wasn't one of your complaints that like the dungeons are kind of too long?
I was about to say the dungeons are very long, and it can kind of be a bit much. And, like, it's kind of a feature slightly touted, and some people, like, you know, like that, I guess. Like, I get it. And the dungeon, like, I say that they're too long, but when I finish the dungeon, I feel pretty good. Like,
yeah, sure.
But the thing is, like, with Zelda, right, you usually don't stop in the middle of a dungeon.
Yeah, that's suicide, because then you don't know where you were. And
so it's like, that kind of, it's awkward in this game. It's like, I'm like, if I'm in a dungeon, I'm going to start one. I'm like, all right, do I have three hours?
Yeah,
like, it takes.
Continue playing.
Right, it takes a lot. And, like, they're kind of, like, aware of that. They'll have like some places that are pretty good breaks if you want to, but it seems unsatisfying. Now I'm at this weird part where, like, now keep in mind there aren't that many dungeons. Like, I did this like after the second dungeon there was a pretty like long dungeon break where a lot of other things are happening. Then I did the third dungeon, and then it's just the very next thing is the fourth dungeon. Like, with, almost, like, no intermission. I'm like, that seems weird.
Sounds like the game has some pacing issues.
I think that's a good way of putting it. Which makes, like, you know, if you have a smaller team, that's maybe one of the things that, like, you don't have quite as much.
Like, playtesting.
Playtesting, or, you know, some people can only do so many things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very good, and it's super worth playing, and it is very fun. And, like, the puzzles in the dungeons are great. Because it's largely kind of based around, like, there's a kind of a twin-stick shooter element to it. Like, you have melee attacks, and you have, like, the shooter attacks, and you have, like, the different element to unlock. So that's a lot of the puzzles, is, like, shooting your energy balls and bouncing off of things and, like, unlocking things and pushing blocks. You know, classic stuff. But it's worth checking out, I think, if you are looking for a Zelda-esque experience.
Cool.
Yeah, fun stuff. What about you? You been playing much?
A few things. I've been participating in the seasonal event going on in Elder Scrolls Online. This is the first time I've done one of these.
What is the event? Just like summer or something?
It's all in Somerset Isle. which is one of the recent expansions, which everyone seems to think is probably the best expansion they've done. I haven't played much in it, but I do have it. The way these work, and these have been a thing for a while now, so this is kind of the first one participating in. When they come up, there's a event shopkeeper who sets up, and your event tickets are the currency. You can earn 3 a day, and the way you do them is various types of daily activities. There's daily quests. You can do a daily trial, which is... I haven't done a trial yet. I think they're, like, not quite a raid, but more complicated than a dungeon would be in, like, World of Warcraft, for example. Yeah. So basically, you're trying to get your 3 event tickets a day. There's a mount that's called an Indrik. And the way you get an Indrik is you need to buy Indrik feathers. There's 4 of them. They cost 10 event tickets each. So you may think to yourself, wait, that's 40 tickets for an Indrik, but you say you can only earn 39. Nah. Aha. So you have to, if you want to do it in one event, because there are multiple events, like it carries over. But if you wanted to do it in one event, you're going to have to spend some money on additional event tickets.
I see.
But the Indrik is unique, and it's basically Eevee. Oh. So there's berries you can also buy, and then you can evolve it into unique variants of the Indrik. And this one is a new one.
That's fine.
Called the Mossheart Indrik. The berries are also 10 event tickets, and only 2 of the 4 are available at this event. So basically, you need to get the 2 unique berries and 2 of your feathers. And then the next event, I'll get the other 2 berries and the other 2 feathers.
Really? Not talking me into this.
Yeah, I know. It
sounds awesome.
But the daily quests you do, at least these Somerset ones, are fun. It's either you go to a delve, which is like they're kind of open dungeons that you just go in and out of.
Is that
of
that one you did for like an hour and a half instead of talking to me the one time you came over? Because
I couldn't find the one I...
You like came over.
We were watching the History Channel thing, or Discovery Channel thing.
I was learning about Machu Picchu.
I learned about Machu Picchu, too. It's very fascinating.
You don't even know what country it's in. Yeah, that's right, you don't.
Shit.
Yeah, you learned so much about Machu Picchu.
Just from civilization. Yeah. Anyway, the other ones are like the world bosses. And it's fun because, like, it's just that thing where, like, everybody's in Somerset right now, so there's a lot of people running around fighting these world bosses, doing these quests.
Man, remember when, like, Warhammer Online was the first to have, like, public events?
Yeah, that was so good.
And I was like, that's amazing. And, like, now everyone has some variation of it.
Remember Warhammer Online thing, too, was, like, there was player collision.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Right? So, like, a strategy in PvP was to be one of the big orcs and just stand in doorways to block people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. I like that.
I liked I think I had a witch hunter in Warhammer Online. Warhammer Online was fun.
It's weird that that's just gone. Like, that couldn't survive.
Gone forever.
I know. Weird.
I mean, what survives? Although,
Anarchy Online still up there, Mike. Yes,
really?
I get emails about it.
Did you see that Final Fantasy XI is getting, not just an update, story content?
Really?
Good
for the people still playing that game.
I'm actually excited,
because they announced sometime in August they're expanding the never-ending trial, or they have a name for it, Final Fantasy XIV. Basically, like, up to level 16, Heavensward is just, you don't need to pay a subscription.
Like, not even just, like, base Heavensward, but, like,
the post-content, too?
Actually, yeah. So I have to say, I'm actually kind of getting that Final Fantasy XIV itch again.
Yeah, this is great, because I won't have to pay for it.
Well, because, like, right now I'm doing in World of Warcraft this mountain hunting.
Yeah.
Specifically one mount right now, where, like, I have all my... I have 5 max level characters. I just have them logged out where this rare mount spawns once every 20 minutes. I just log in with all the characters, and it's, like, a 1 out of 200 chance to get this mount, and then I kill them. So I think I'm up to about 150 tries so far. Which, according to my add-on, says I'm now technically unlucky to have not gotten it. So, fantastic.
That's 2020, Mike.
Yeah, that's great.
That's how it goes.
But, I mean, I think I could have go for some Final Fantasy XIV again. I was in, like, maybe, like, the first third of the actual Heavensward, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it was, like, I think Classic came out or something came out.
Yeah.
But, like, now, like, Shadowlands is probably not coming out until later 2020.
Right, like, November.
So there's some time.
Yeah, because I'm still in the post main story quest before Heavensward. That's where I left off.
That's one of the major things that's getting streamlined in that pad. They're getting rid of some of the kind of fluff in there.
Well, there's a lot of that I experienced, especially in that post quest, is like, go here, talk to this person. Yes. Now go here, talk. It was a lot of FedEx. Not even FedEx. It was just you're just talking to people.
A lot of opening things up. But there actually are some, like, great story beats.
Oh, sure. Like, you find the one girl's mom, and I was like, oh, this is great.
The weirdest thing, though, is, like, after the last base final, like, a Realm Reborn quest and the first Heavensward quest, some of the voice actors change.
Oh, really?
And, like, for that one, I was like, what the? I was like, you get used to it. You understand,
sure.
Right? Like, contracts and all that stuff. Well, I'm sure. But for a second, because especially that That little, like, elf boy, what's his name? Like,
Alphanod.
Alphanod, yeah. Like, because he had a pretty distinct voice. And then his voice changed. I was like, whoa.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I mean, again, I didn't mind. It helps that I don't speak.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, I'm feeling that I like my little black mage.
It's still a great game. It's super fun.
It's super fun. I don't know.
It has no right being so good. I mean,
am I ever going to be able to catch up to, like, I'm playing Final Fantasy XIV endgame content? Maybe not, but it's still, like, for what it is, it's great.
And the reason why I don't feel so bad in that game is because the story quest stuff is so good.
Right.
And it's like, just play this at my pace and not worry. You know, do the public, or not public, the match made dungeons duties. When you need to duties. Thank the you. Duties. I knew that name. You know, do those and hope you don't get sent to the final one from the main story quest because it's like forever. All cutscenes.
Yeah, I think maybe that's gonna get fixed up.
Well, that's too. Like the joke is like you don't want to end up in that one once you're over level 50.
Yeah, I bet. Some of those bosses, I love those single like bosses though. They're great. They each have like their special songs. There's like that Moogle King you fight. Mad King Moogle song. I'm like, oh, this is good stuff. So yeah, filling that Final Fantasy itch.
Time. There's still rumors it's going to come to Xbox.
I mean, I'm not going to play a console version of that game.
That's the thing I like about ESO, is it works so well with controller.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's how I play a lot. Like, especially doing like just these daily quests. I'm either on my phone. It's so dumb. Here's another Stadia rant. So like, I have ESO on Stadia, and it works fine. You know, I have that little Android phone I bought, and you know, if I want, but then like, I could use Moonlight to remote into my computer from either that phone or my iPhone, where the game now runs at 60 frames per second and looks better. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any stuttering because it's just my local network. And it's like, why do I have the Stadia version again?
Why do you have the Stadia version? Because
Jeff Grubb gave me a code. I didn't pay for it. Relax. It is just funny that, like, I could just do that. Because that's like we were talking about where we're going to get Avengers it's eventually, maybe someday. And part of me, like Chris said, maybe PC, and I'm like, yeah, but like, I wouldn't mind getting on Xbox knowing it's going to go to Series X.
I wouldn't mind either. Like, that seems more console.
Exactly. That's my thing. I want to be sitting on back in a chair playing that game, just mashing away. But then, you know, the joke's like, we could get it on Stadia. I can't imagine. Like, I haven't even played it yet, which is stupid, but I bought Borderlands 3 because it was $20. That's the best price I've seen on that game. I was like, okay, I'll get Borderlands 3 on Stadia.
That's cheap price.
Yeah, for $20, and I'll play it a little bit, whatever. I can't imagine, as Stadia catches up, you have a game like Avengers, which is a day-and-date release on the platform with everything else, and be like, I'll get the Stadia version. And again, maybe there are people who don't have a console and don't have a gaming PC, but they're gamers and they want the Avengers game, and that's where they're going to play it. Good for them, I guess. I don't know how many of those people there are. I just, like, you know, the Stadia games I've played have been Division and ESO because they have cross-play and progression with the PC version.
Not even your primary.
It's a supplemental experience, and that's fine.
It's like people, like, playing, like, a PlayStation 4 game on their Vita while they're in bed.
Right.
That thing.
Right. Exactly. Exactly right. It's so weird. I still love it. You go to the forums, and everyone's all bent out of shape because, you know, Elder Scrolls Online, for example, runs at 30 frames per second. And this thing's supposed to be the power of a PS4 and Xbox One X combined, and you can't run ESO at 60 FPS, right?
That was some bullshit, huh?
Yeah, and then everyone's like, oh, like, you know, there are the people legitimately asking, like, well, what the fuck are they supposed to do when Series X and PS5 come out? And there's always the counter-argument is always the mythical Phase 2 of Stadia.
Phase 2.
That they've never said anything about, like, oh, they'll upgrade it with ray tracing. No, they won't. They just released it.
Oh, it's getting upgraded.
No, it's not. Tracing. It's just not.
Look, you don't have to tell me that Stadia
I know,
sucks.
I know.
Like,
it's just so funny to me. It's so funny.
I'm glad that people seem to be a little bit more on board with Avengers after that last thing.
Yeah, that was a really good video.
I was always kind of a defender. I always thought people were too down on it.
I thought, the criticism I see a lot of people give it, a bunch of friends of mine included, are like, oh, it looks like that scene in Spaceballs where they capture the stunt doubles. It's like, yeah, I know. It doesn't look like Robert Downey Jr. Guess what? Iron Man has looked different a lot over the years.
That's kind of my thing. It's like, guys, like, I know. Like, there's been a lot of
it's not
representations.
Chris Evans.
Yeah. I mean, I get it a little bit, but also, like, you know, get over it.
Right.
Like, I get it. Like, I thought the same thing, too. Like, all these people kind of look like the movie versions, you know, but not really.
If Nolan North playing Iron Man is not enough for you, I don't know what to do for
but
you.
But, like, I'm sorry. This was the one that really made it clear, like, this is, like, a looter RPG game.
Yeah, it's a very fancy Ultimate Alliance. And yeah. After kind of being disappointed in Ultimate Alliance
3, after thinking Ultimate Alliance could have used a little fancying
up. Yeah, let's go. Also, I did notice in that video, they're talking about traversal types. And, you know, Iron Man just flies, Hulk is leaping, and then they're like, Black Widow and Kamala Khan just swing with their arms. I go, okay, so Spider-Man's going to be in this game. It was basically just Spider-Maning.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. Okay, so Spider-Man's totally going to be a DLC character people to pay for. But yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought it looked good. I mean, I like the kind of the way they set up the game flow. So there's like the kind of more single player missions,
right?
But you can co-op them or bring in your AI guys.
Yeah, I mean,
then they have like the thing that are like the more replayable, like, oh, if you're just co-oping with your friends, just do these. Mm-hmm. What do they call them, war zones or something?
I don't know.
I thought it looked really good.
Fine. You know, I'm okay with the idea of like a loot RPG where I play as Marvel superheroes.
Yeah, sure. I like those guys.
Yeah, I like Captain. I'll be Captain America. That'd be fun.
Oh, he's dead.
And he comes back. Come on. I just found out about, I don't know if this is spoilers, and we care about Halo spoilers. I just found out that after that big to-do with Halo 4 about how Cortana dies in it, she just comes back in 5.
Oh, yeah.
And she's the villain. Dumb.
She's going rampant, Mike.
Yeah, she's
going rampant. I still don't know how that one ends. I need to finish it. But
I think a lot of people don't know
how Halo 5. Well, you saw they announced today.
Yeah, Jeff's been saying this forever. Jeff Grubb knows. He knows
that. Halo Infinite's multiplayer will be free to play, and they're saying no Xbox Live required, and Jeff seems to believe that this is an indication that Xbox Live requirement for any online multiplayer is just going away.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. They don't need that.
Xbox Live's not the service they care about now.
Yeah, it's Game Pass. And why would you have now an impediment to people playing games?
Right. Yeah, makes sense. It's going to make Nintendo Switch Online look real weird.
Well, it's going to make PS Plus look really weird.
Plus, I mean,
maybe two games a month? I don't know.
Maybe it'll have to fall asleep. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that's nice. I mean, it's like, again, we have Game Pass anyway, so it doesn't really matter necessarily. Right, like,
because we have the Ultimate, yeah, so.
I do wonder, is this, like, because they're going to be monetizing that somehow, so it's going to be having a Battle Pass or something.
Oh, I think they said as much, yeah. Whatever. Or that was the rumor. Fine. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. I like Battle Passes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, other things I've been playing. I played the new hero in Hearthstone Battlegrounds. Kind of. I was Sir Finley.
Oh.
But, like, Sir Finley's hero power is, like, pick someone else's hero power, and that's how I got Mr. Bigglesworth the cat.
Yeah, I legitimately played it
with Bigglesworth. Oh, aren't you fancy?
And,
I heard a lot of people saying, like, oh, this doesn't sound good. Like, Kriparian was complaining about it last night, actually.
So the hero power for this guy is that when a player dies, you get to discover one of their minions, and you actually get to keep the enchantments.
So if it's like a Murloc that got poison attached, right, you get it with the poison.
So the way you have to play Bigglesworth is you don't want to level up very quickly. You need to kind of stay on some of like those lower tiers longer, maybe pick up some cannons and stuff so that you are going to survive
to the mid game,
to the late mid game, yeah, so that other people start dying and then you can pick up their. So like for me, like I picked up a golden gold grubber. Gold grubber is like the minion who normally gets +2 +2 for each golden minion. Well, if he himself is golden, and now it's +4 +4 because he's golden.
So every turn he's just growing by 4.
Yeah, and least. he was already buffed up a lot because he had the enchantment. He was already like a 30 something. Like, you know, it was so insane. You
just ride that wave.
Yeah, I was like, that was great. I've actually gotten back above the 7K mark.
I'm back in the mid 5000s after a very. Very miserable time. Well, I'll tell you, it was when was the turning point? Something changed in the meta. I think when dragons came, I struggled with dragons.
I was bad when dragons happened too.
Yeah, but then pirates worked pretty well for me.
Pirates, I got okay with relatively. I think my problem with dragons was I was too excited about them and was playing them.
A lot
too
of people
much.
Were forcing dragons. Yeah,
and it was like the dragons can be good. Like that. They can't be good basically if you get a Kalagos.
Well, I had an incredible game with dragons the other day where. Early, I was Ysera, so that's the one where every turn you just have a dragon added to the tavern, which is great. And I early on tripled the whelp.
Yeah.
So that's good. And, you know, I had like a hangry dragon who was doing okay. I won a few rounds. And all of a sudden, in the tavern are just 3 more whelps. And it was a turn where I had 10 gold. I go, well, I guess that's happening. And then I managed to triple into a Kalagos. So I was like, sweet, I'm winning this game. And that's what happened. It was amazing. And no Murlocs, which is, that's what you got to do. Yeah, look, are there Murlocs? Cool, I can have big minions.
I was playing a game just a little bit ago where I didn't get a good hero. Like, I had to be Togwoggle's wife or whatever.
Oh, God,
so I was like, all right, I guess I'm playing like kind of a menagerie thing. And I actually was like doing okay. I had a really good mid game. And then like I went to 5 and I suddenly just got a Bran. And then like I got a triple and I got a Megastorm. I'm like, oh, all right, maybe I'll get some Murlocs. Maybe I can just transition. Then I got another triple and I got another Megasaur. So I just like immediately sold everything and just filled the board with like whatever Murlocs I could find. Uh-huh. And immediately had poisonous Divine Shield Murlocs and won.
There you go. That's
great.
That's all you need.
Yeah,
I'm honestly shocked that Megasaur's still in the game.
I mean, it's, I kind of understand, but like, there is no Murloc build without it.
Right. Well, I mean, they need to replace it with something.
I don't know. I mean, the trade off with Murlocs is that if you don't get the right things, you're probably screwed.
Pretty hoed. So, like, maybe, like, there's a way to get, like, poisonous on your Murlocs, but do they need Divine Shield? Like, that's a problem.
I don't know. It's difficult. I'm not sure if it's a quote unquote big problem right now. I tell you what I thought was weird was that they put Goldrum, that wolf, to tier 6. Like, were beasts that much of a problem?
Well, there's one beast build that gets really oppressive where you have a bunch of those macaws. Well,
I know, but Goldrum, like, that build dies to poisonous Murlocs.
Right.
So I thought it was weird that build, because that basically nuked that build.
It's one of those builds, like, even poisonous Murlocs, you can kind of counter it with, like, Cleave or something. The Goldrin one, there was like nothing you could do against
poisonous it. Poisonous was the only thing, I guess. Yeah, it could get a bit rough.
Yeah.
But you see my card reveal?
I did. Tell us about your card.
That's right. Not only did I get to reveal a card for the Skullaments expansion, I wasn't a backup, because last time I was a backup for somebody.
You must have done a good job.
Or they're losing it.
This card looks like it's good too.
Yeah, Boneweb Spider. It's an egg, O2. When it dies, you summon 2/2/1 spiders, I believe. Uh-huh. And if you discard it, you still summon those spiders.
Yeah, so this will be good in Warlock decks.
Yeah, it should be good in Zoo. I don't know if discard Warlock is a thing.
No, but, you know, you still want that, what's the 4 damage
Soul Fire.
Yeah, so you still want Soulfire in your deck, so, you know, if it happens to get discarded.
Sure. I mean, do you want Soulfire more? I don't know. But, that's fun. I liked
it. They sometimes need that 4 damage for 1 mana.
I guess, like, back in the day, yeah. I remember when I first started playing Hearthstone, I had no idea what was going on, so I just, like, made a deck of, like, mage cards that do damage. Like, I'll just throw all these at the face.
You probably did okay.
I won some games. I was like, well, just put 2 Pyroblasts, 2 Fireballs, Frostbolts, I'll get there.
I mean, I need to, like, play, like, one more game to get myself to gold 5 so I could end the month.
Oh, gold 5, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Gotta get gold. You don't want to not get gold 5 like some loser.
Yeah, like you.
Whoa.
How much Destructive have you played lately?
How many cards have you revealed lately?
I'm going to top those. They're going to have me reveal the next
card.
They
have freaking Kriparian. He did like that, the live stream where he reveals the rest of the cards. He never plays Constructed anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
He only plays Battle. At least before he played Arena. Like, those cards would be in Arena.
My wife and I were cleaning the living room last night, so I put Kriparian on the Apple TV and just connected my AirPod to it so she didn't have to listen. But she's looking and she goes, like, what do you get out of watching this? And I go, and that was the night, too, like, you know, Crypt can sometimes just, like, not talk for 20 minutes.
Oh, because he's, like, eating or something?
Yeah, he wasn't even doing that. I think he just ate, but, like, it was, like, one of those where, like, he wasn't even doing anything. He's just, like, quietly playing.
Yeah, kind of slouching.
Yeah, and she's, like, I'm just playing, but, like, usually he's talking and explaining his decision-making, so I kind of learned. And all of a sudden, he just, like, really loudly said something. I have his, like, AirPod in, I'm like, yeah, like, jump. She's, like, what's wrong? Like, he started talking. It freaked me out.
Yeah. That'll do that.
The last thing I want to talk about real quick, I haven't dug into it too much, but the new Dauntless update came out. It's a huge one. They did it like an in-game event at the end of the last Battle Pass where like the community had to gather these cores from a relic so the guy can make
as
a portal.
Because
some Umbral energy was going to destroy Ramsgate, the main town, and we succeeded. I don't know what would happen if we didn't. Probably the same thing. But basically, he opened a portal so everyone could escape to this new island, and we had to rebuild Ramsgate. So we have, like, a new city in the game. I'm of two minds of the new city. It's nice in the fact that, like, a lot of the essential stuff you need is just kind of right there. Think the original Phantasy Star Online lobby. I just walked in. There were like three counters. Right. That's everything you need. Like, oh, this is nice. But then, like, there's a lot of like kind of just ancillary stuff that's like cool to explore. But one of the things you do every day in that game is you need to get like your little 10 MacGuffins to get like a half level of Battle Pass experience. They're all over the place. Yeah. It's so spread out. So that kind of sucks. But the other big thing that came with this update was they completely reworked the sword.
How so?
So the complaint with the sword is that like it was supposed to be like the kind of beginner weapon, but like it never elevated never, like, past okay. that. So like no it was one really
boring.
Right, exactly. It was a boring weapon. Well put. So they changed it now where it still has like basic combos, like a left click, left, left, and a right, right, right to just do basic attacks. But now you're building up these ticks on a meter that is six deep. There's like six ticks to it. The light attack combo gives you one. The heavy attack gives you two. You can spend three of those ticks to do very special moves. The one, you just hold down left click and you just dash forward. So it's like a good gap closer. If you hold down right click, you actually shoot a projectile, and that projectile could boop a behemoth and knock it over. Then there's one combo you can do that's just like a big hit, and another one that kind of hits the ground and leaves like an AoE damage pool. So if like some, if you like knock over something, you hit this damage pool and it just ticks away at it. It's really cool. So like you can still play it like the old sword, basically, if you're truly a beginner. But there's some depth to it, which is cool. So yeah, I like it. It's very neat.
One couple things I want to talk about before we're done here is actually an audiobook I've been listening to.
Ooh,
I like
quite a lot.
Rocket Men by Robert Curson.
This sounds familiar.
It's a pretty well-regarded book about like the space race stuff, but it's very specifically about Apollo 8, which is fun. So Apollo,
what happened to Apollo 8?
Apollo 8, they were the first to go to the moon and orbit it.
Right. Okay.
So like at the time, still by far the most ambitious like you know space project ever. So it's very well done, very interesting.
Well, it had to be such a tease for those guys. It's right there.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I think they're still.
I think the NASA astronauts going to the moon had enough professionalism.
I mean, right. Well, you know, I mean, plus a lot of these guys, I think they. I mean, I haven't gotten there yet, but you know, a lot of these guys are still maybe.
They
down the line can go to Apollo 14 or actually think one. I'm not sure yet, but I think one of them was in Apollo 13. Oof. Yeah, so that guy. It's just super well done. So if you're interested in space or stuff, and it's nice that it's not just like this giant book all about the space race. Like it's kind of laser focused, but also like you know they're still talking about the Apollo 1 fire.
Yeah, and stuff the history
like
that. Of it.
Yeah, so you're getting a lot of stuff. So that's good. And then, you know, our 90s Disney episode, next one is going to be out by the time people are listening to this, I think, on Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, the show. That was fun. I also played through Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, both the NES games via the Disney Afternoon Collection.
The original Hate Your Co-op Partner experience.
I'll tell you what, it's fun to play a co-op because you're like laughing
as
you're
picking through.
You don't actually want to like beat the game.
Right.
It's way more difficult than it needs to be. But those games are fun, man. I enjoyed them. Plus, it was cool because I never really got to play Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers 2 before.
Yeah, that was like a really late NES release.
1994 in America. January, like, again, the PlayStation came out in 1995.
What year did Mega Man 6 come out?
Before that.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, 92 maybe. Like, still pretty late. But I'm going to look now. Now I'm wondering. But, no, I think that was pretty late. But, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers 2, it's crazy because like it does look pretty good for an NES game. The music was way better on that
too.
That was fun. And then like I was just kind of messing around and there's like boss rush modes and everything. So and like they have like leaderboards and all that stuff. So I kind of like ended up like spending like an hour and a half on the DuckTales 1 boss rush, and it was like kind of got decent at it. I got to
where are you in the leaderboard?
The leaderboard wasn't refreshed yet. Like first, like the guy who's the top is like 1:11, and I got to 1:30 ish. So like I was even like cause there was even some things I recognized from speed runs, like some kind of wonky ways to like hit people while they're flickering and stuff, and I was getting it was feeling pretty good. It was the closest I've ever gotten to speed run was doing this.
Remember like when like Rock Band was like brand new? What song were we like number one in the world on as a group for like a few
there
days?
There was something.
It was like a David Bowie song or something. Chris probably remembers Uber Farin was number one in the
Uber
world.
Farin.
And then, what was the other game? It was that co-op game where I got really pissed at you.
Oh, you remember the name. Wow.
Yeah, I remember because like we had before it came out, so we were like the number one in the leaderboard for a while.
Mega Man 6 was 1993, so a little bit later than I thought it.
That was the game. Where I forget what the puzzle was. You just weren't doing what I wanted you to do and told you to do. And I looked at you and you were like, so like just taken aback at how serious I was. When I turned to that and said, what the hell's wrong?
That's right. I do remember that. You were so sincere. I felt bad.
I don't know. Sorry.
Ibn Ob.
I think we're the only people who have many memories of that one.
Right.
Weird PlayStation Network, PlayStation 3, like,
yeah.
PSN game. It was fun.
Co-op only.
Co-op puzzle platformer. Those things are more common than they should be. Right. All right. Is that it?
I think that's it, yeah.
All right, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Again, don't forget to check out our new 90s Disney episode and all the 90s Disney episodes
at
90sDisney.com. We're getting close to 1,000 followers on that Twitter account there, too.
I know.
That's exciting. So, yeah, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.